So, what do I do this year for Christmas gifts? I could get Rick an artisan beer, and Sophie a weird brand of wine, or Zelda a set of emoji stickers. Mom loves, well, I don't know, maybe a Fruit of the Month club. Gosh, I thought it would be easier when I decided to get everyone something they can eat. I mean, you can't get them a sweater, because in every family get-together, I wonder, why aren't they wearing the sweater? A piece of art? If they don't like it, they can keep it in the closet. But when I find it hanging up the coats, I have a secret bone to pick at dinner. Everyone eats. If they don't like it, they throw it away. But if they like it, then I've got another convert to the weird food cult of authentic Aztec hot chocolate. A side note. The Aztecs invented hot chocolate. Just take your favorite hot chocolate mix, add hot sauce, honey, and vanilla to taste. Then whip it up until there's a head of foam, mostly foam. Then enjoy like you are in 1490 AD at the royal court high atop a pyramid in Mexico. They thought the foam was a delicacy. Mini marshmallows are a Western invention that are a bonus. I would like the gift to be relevant to their lives. Something that will broaden their listening to a worldwide voice. Something that will enhance their growth as omniscient, global, loving entities. Hey, that could be my rock band name. OGLE. The Ogle Omniscient Global Loving Entities. Ogle and Garfunkel. But anyway, I don't want them to forget about the gift by next weekend. I know I'll just surf Amazon and see what I can find. Rick is a business guy, with aspirations of making it big. Tom Robbins, even cowgirls get the blues. My cat, Olivia, gets some fancy feast gourmet grilled crab with scallions. That sounds good. I'll get one for myself. Sophie fancies herself as a multicultural vacuum. I'll bet she's never heard of Heather Pringle. America, an archaeological journey into forgotten cultures. Zelda is 12. Still a puddle of water, yearning for shape. Teenage years await. Probably the toughest time because everything is catastrophic. A young person has no experiences to compare levels of disaster. Ah! J.D. Salinger, the catcher in the rye. She needs an anti-hero. If she reads it at 12, she can talk about it the rest of her life. In class, when they ask for favorite books and she says Salinger. Then teacher will adjust her glasses and snort.
Oh, you've read that?
Zelda says with arrogance.
Yes, at 12. It was okay.
Then in study hall, she'll look over the room and see that guy wearing the worn army jacket and balancing on two chairs. He is engrossed in the catcher. And she will approach him and say,
Salinger?
He says,
yeah.
She says,
I read it at 12. I'll never do what he did. It was okay.
He'll say,
cool, what do you mean?
That's enough to start them down the garden path. Or any path they like. Okay, Seth. He's pretty smart for a teenager. He needs a broader perspective on life. Stephen Hawking. A Brief History of Time. He may not understand it now, but even one paragraph will blow his mind. Who knows? Maybe he is the one to invent multi-dimensional travel in a Facebook app. Now, what for Mom? How about this? Game of Thrones pop-up book. I bet she already has it. She hasn't been able to concentrate and read lately. Okay, an audio version of Jonathan Livingston's Seagull. I remember when she got it for me for my birthday at 10. We listened to it at night in the backyard by the fire pit. The heat to the right, and to the left the cool of the darkness. Then the heat would disappear with the change of the breeze. I saw the gulls flying in and out of the warm wind eddies, then swirling up and chasing the sparks, reaching the highest smoke plume, then folding their wings and diving back into the flames. She said that Jonathan learning to fly was like me and how I learned to live. Since then, I have imagined myself tumbling down wing over tail in the tough times, but then soaring above the clouds in the special moments. Maybe we can listen to it again. Here in the Amazon suggestions box is a miniature star globe that can project the night sky on the hospital room ceiling. She will laugh when we pretend the heart monitor, beep, 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 is Sputnik circling the world. To top it off, here is some Belgian chocolate. Everything is better with chocolate. As luck would have it, there is a free version of Jonathan on YouTube, and it is read by Richard Harris. But wait, how'll she take the ending? John has his triumphs. At the end of the book, he is flying away, vanishing into thin air as a transcendent mishmash of birds spiritually. Inspiring as a kid, with future hills to climb. But she is at the apex, the highest point, her oldest age. Can she look back and appreciate the flight? Or will she look forward into the abyss? The idea of heaven becomes a possibility. Is this the time to deny the darkness the unknowable? Do I go along with the everlasting better place? It's not my impressions that matter. I'll have to follow wherever she leads. Moving on, my next gift is for Jessica. It was casual Friday at work. I got to wear my favorite shoes, L.L. Bean Transverse Hikers with super rock gripping soles. I had just entered the lobby, and I could see that the elevator door was closing. So, it was time for my patented doorstop move. I rushed forward, and at the last second, I put my foot between the doors. I played right wing in high school soccer, so I have quick feet. This should have triggered the auto-open switch. Then, at the next to last second, I became distracted. I saw a hand smacking buttons inside the elevator car. The doors tightened on my feet. So I turned and stumbled backward, fell on my elbow, and rolled to the left. Then I caught my balance, got my knees under me, and stood up. The door slammed shut. I heard an exasperated female voice shout,
"Sorry."
And the witnesses began to clap. I bowed as if I'd completed a triple sow cow at the Olympics. The judges gave me a 5.5 score. Later that day, I was getting some coffee in the break room. From behind me, I heard that voice again.
"Hey, L.L. Bean. Your shoes are kind of scuffed up."
I blushed with embarrassment. But not wanting to turn around, I said, "Well, I've just returned from climbing a mountain in Colombia where I got this cuff." I turned and there she was. Java. Green eyes and a smirk. She said,
"Are you okay?"
"Yes," I replied. "Would you like a cup?" So she did. And then we did until our fifth date. Now, I have to get the just right, most perfect gift for Christmas. Date one. We went to a pizza place and drank beer. We spoke back and forth about politics, art, life tragedies, happiness, and love. One of those great first dates where it seemed like we were old friends. Date two. We went to see Nikki Giovanni, a poet, who said, "We love because it is our only true adventure." Her reading was really good. But we were both quiet on the way home. Jessica said,
"There's a lot to think about. I don't know if I will live my life up to her descriptions."
Date three. She called me at 10 a.m. and said,
"I want to do something today, and I thought you might like to join me. Dress like it's 0 degrees.
It's early December, and last night there was a rain ice storm that coated everything. She picked me up, and we drove downtown. It was deserted, and ice stuck to the skyscrapers like a second skin. We parked, and she got out a backpack. She had a hobby of photography, and we began to walk. The ice on the ground made a squishy, crunchy noise. We found an alley between two 1920s buildings. The antique wrought iron fire escape started at ground level and bent back and forth all the way to the 20th floor. 2-meter icicles hung from each step and banister. Every place where an iron finger was exposed, there was an ice glove. It looked like some underground stalactite K formation, but it was transparent glass. The cloudless blue sky above was a thin line between the buildings. Jessica moved away a few garbage cans and began to set up her camera. She handed me a thermos of coffee. She said,
"Pour us around and look up for the angles."
I said, "There is only one cup?"
"I know."
She coyly smiled. So, we shared. And I noticed I couldn't tell the difference between the steam from the coffee and her breath as she sipped. She said,
"This only happens every couple of hundred years. The cold, the rain, the ice, the wind, all mix to form these brocades of silvery glass. But it gets better."
Just then, the cathedral bells began to ring 12 noon, and the sun peeked through the tower tops. The ice began to glow, and rainbows of colored light began to dance around us. I said, "You have this planned?" She handed me the camera and smiled.
"Well, maybe. Get to work and use those angles."
Her favorite movie is Dr. Zhivago. She has a rescue cat with half a tail, and she volunteers at puppy adoption day. On our fourth date, she gave me a sugar-free chocolate Santa with drizzled on bits of Godiva mint truffles. I'm diabetic, and now I know she is thoughtful and she can cook. She loves Seinfeld, so maybe a complete DVD collection? She likes Chinese writing, so maybe a yin and yang necklace? I'll definitely have to make a mixtape with the band Heart, Crazy on You, and the Cowboy Junkies, To Live Is to Fly, The Cure, Just Like Heaven, and of course, Etta James, At Last. The gift has to say, "Like us so far. Love to do some more stuff. Let's explore." Valentine's Day is a couple of months away, and I can re-examine then. First, the event. Candles and sandalwood incense are required. She will come over to my house. In the background, softly, the song by Mezzi Star, Fade Into You. I've got to train Olivia, my cat, to be nice, remember to vacuum the carpet, and put the dirty clothes in the closet. Make sure the curtains are open so the moonlight will shine in. I'll set up the plates on the living room coffee table and we can sit on the big fluffy pillows. Jess likes a sweet, juicy red wine. I'll cook something light like a salad and olive oil sprinkled baguette. Then, an Italian wedding soup. Subliminal message intended. And top it off with a dessert of authentic Aztec chocolate. But still, what about the gift? I wonder if she would like Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Written by David William Ullman. Narrated by Tristan Hyde, Rhys Draven, and Miranda Redding Spring. Produced by Braybrook Studios.